It's that time again. Time to down the tools and grab a fistful of golden glory on the Mardi Gras of medals. With those two champions of the podium, rampaging Roy Slaven and HG Nelson. HG.
Yes, thanks very much, Jumpin' Jai, the centimetre guy in the soundproof booth, and well, as a tear in my eye, Jumpin' Jai. This is the last time we'll be doing this, buddy, in Rio, in the big stink, in 2016. The big stink has come alive with Usain Bolt, as mentioned already, across networks, winning the 200 metres. But speaking of medals, Australia clinging to 10th. We're clinging to 10th in the medal tally. 7 gold, 10 silver, 10 bronze, 27 medals all up. But the South Korean and Hungarians are nipping at our heels. I just hope we can score something and keep us in that top 10. I'm joined, as always, in the Herb Elliott Stadium by my colleague in the Olympic movement, rampaging Roy Slaven. Roy, other highlights from the last 24?
Yes, thanks very much, H.U. Nelson. And what a wonderful day it is today in Rio. God almighty, it's really turned it on today, hasn't it?
It has, and I should have mentioned it's Olympic Marshals and Officials Day.
Yeah, about time.
Celebrating the magnificent work of Olympic officials and marshals here.
They're unheralded, largely, aren't they?
Only our program salutes them.
I know. Now, just a couple of thoughts here, H.G., that I gathered last night. On the when I was at the Edge, God, I love the Edge.
Who was in last night?
Oh, look, it was just alive with stars. Everywhere you looked was stars.
Did you see Ryan Lochte?
Of course I did. No, couldn't find him.
No,
and I wasn't alone in looking for him either. Now, Boomer Damian Martin, whom I always listen to, he says Dellavedova has the highest basketball IQ of anyone he has ever met, and that is a big rap. The highest basketball IQ. Yeah. I mean, you've got your normal IQ. Then you've got your
Mensa IQ.
Yeah.
And above that is basketball IQ.
Yep, definitely. It's to do with scalars and vectors, all of that. Now, Mia Jin Lee has a late birdie blitz to be in contention. Looking good. We might, we're sniffing dung in the golf. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, the alluring big stink of dung.
I know.
Says it all, doesn't it?
And Aussie BMX heroes Sam Willoughby and Carolyn Buchanan are really putting in scorching runs, setting it alight, we are. And a medal is not out of question for either of those two heroes. Now, Kate Bronte says Australia should lock her in for Tokyo. I got this straight from the horse's mouth last night at the Edge. God, I love that chill out zone. I just love it. Love it. Stars.
Stars!
Now, IOC President Thomas Bach has condemned the Brazilian crowd behaviour, as we have as well.
Coach?
Coach has said nothing.
No.
No surprises there.
Dick Pound, anything?
Nothing.
No.
Nothing at all.
He's got other things to fry, hasn't he?
I suppose he has. Anyway, Bach has... and God, we haven't heard much of Bach, have
he's we? Silent. No Bach from
I
Bach.
I mean, at least with His Excellency, Juan Antonio
Semrent.
I mean, he had a presence, didn't he?
He did.
He knew where he was at all times. Mm. But this Bach bloke, I could walk past him. I was in a lift with him and I didn't know. There were only two of us there. The policeman came up to me later and said, "Do you know who was in the lift with you?" I said, "There was no one in the lift with me." He said, "Yeah, you're right. That was Thomas Bach." Anyway, he's described the Brazilian crowd behaviour as both shocking and unacceptable. And I agree with both those terms.
Now, following the tilts of various Australians, 14th for Cedric Dubler on 8,024 points, a magnificent effort. The winner from USA had 8,893. So there's work to be done by the bubbler, or Dubler, should I say. The other big news is the Corio Colossus has thrilled everybody here. I'm talking about, of course, Damien Birkenhead. He did the unbelievable. He threw 9th in qualifying.
Yes.
When he backed up to go in the final, he threw in 10th place.
Wow.
That's pretty hard to do.
Wow, that's the Colossus for you, isn't it? Who dubbed him the Corio Colossus, HG, and has it stuck?
No, I don't think it has. Look, I'm not sure. I think it might be the Corio Athletic Club who have done it. I spoke to Lou Mariachi overnight, trying to get a bit of information about where the kid came from and what he eats and a diet and preparation.
Yeah.
The only thing I got was, a ninth or tenth would be great.
Yeah, right. Oh, well, he's achieved that. He got them both. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Now,
I haven't seen much of him around the edge.
Well, he's been competing, Roy.
Of course.
Been locked away. Yeah. Now, one of the great stories that's just broken is Olympic swimmers have had a problem with the pool.
Yep.
It seems that lanes 4 to 8 dominate over lanes 1 to 4.
Wow.
Meaning that most medals, most success has come in lanes 4 to 8.
Okay.
Now,
is there any scientific reason for this, HG?
Well, look, I'm not sure.
Is it just the law of chance, probability?
Well, the exception is to prove the rule wrong is American Anthony Irvin, who won gold from lane 3.
Right.
But this is research done by Joel Steger, the director of the Indiana University's Councilman Center for Science of Swimming.
Oh, God, yes, I believe him. Yep.
Now,
he sounds like an expert. He's ticketed by the sounds of things.
He found a similar effect in 2013 World Championships in Barcelona, co-authoring a paper published in the Medicine and Science and Sports Exercise Journal.
Right.
Well, it's a rag, really. Mm. That concluded a current influence in the the 50 metres races.
Right.
So he looks at it again. So both pools are built by the same company, Mithra. Mm. The boss of Mithra, Trevor Tiffany, told the WSJ, the Wall Street Journal, that, wait for it, a large jug was used to test the Rio pools for currents during and after races. The tests were conclusive. There was no movement of water. If we saw there was a current, we'd have done something about it. Roy, what do you know? I know you've said this pool is short. Mm-hmm. Were you swimming, when you broke your records, your PBs, were you swimming in lanes 5 to 8?
Yeah, I was. Mm. I was. And I sensed there was a current there, HG. Now, you question your sanity in these moments, of course, because you're in a pool and you think, well, how could there be a current in a pool? I think there is. Now, this has been proven, hasn't it? There is a current in this pool. Now, a lot of people think pool design, oh, there's not much to it. It's just a box in the ground filled with water. It's more than that. Much, much more than that. You've got the filtering systems. And when you've got a filtering system, you've got water coming in, water coming out. When you've got water coming in, water coming out, you've got flow. When you've got flow, you've got current. And when you've got current, you've got cheats.
Right. So do you think not only do we have to go back and look at where these records and where these golds and silver were set and try and build in a bias or a balancing time?
We do. We do. We do. And give all those people who are dudded, largely Australians, dudded medals over the years, going back to Barcelona, well, those medals are going to have to be
rerun.
Yes.
And Roy, today's highlights. Now, there's been a
sensation
in the athletics.
Oh, yeah, well, we saw Usain Bolt bring it home again.
We did.
And could I just congratulate, and we don't often do this, HG, could I just congratulate Bruce on his call, which we overheard while it was being run? Absolutely professional. Mm-hmm. You know, it started off with, away. And I thought, hello, we're away. You know, it confirmed exactly what I was looking at. You know, and I love that about Bruce. He tells you what you're seeing, and that takes a great skill.
Can I ask, are you tempted by a tat, you know, of Bruce the Redeemer down to the, say, the nipple line with the red shirt on? Because I was just watching some feeds that we were getting here in the Herb Elliott from what was going to wear in Australia, and I'm really tempted.
Yeah, I know you are.
I don't know how big to get it, though.
No.
I was thinking on my back.
Yeah, I'm thinking life size. Life size. Hey, wouldn't that look good?
A life-size Bruce.
Life-size Bruce. Tat. Now, HG, now,
what
now
else you got?
Let's see. Wallace and Tame win the K2000 bronze medal.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kids from Avoca, which is a small town on the central coast of
New South Wales. Yes.
Yeah, lovely town there.
Plenty of still water for them to practice in.
Yes, I suppose so, HG. Well, the town went off. I assumed the town would have gone off. Would have been last night, Eastern Standard Summer Time, or just Eastern Standard Time. Now, we've won the silver, HG, in the 470 and the 49er class. So our you know, on-water people are really holding their end up. Karen Mitchell fails to bag dung. She came and she was within a sniff of dung in the javelin, but it wasn't to be. And as you mentioned, the Cryo Colossus, of course, he got ninth in the shot put. Our big hope, HG, of course, still hanging around, is Edwina Tops.
Yes,
Alexander.
Any news from the Tops Alexander camp?
No, she's been very quiet, but I know
she's
been focused. I haven't seen her at all at the edge.
Have you seen a pin? a Topps Alexander pin.
No.
No, gee, I bet you that'd be good. I wish I now had swapped my Eric Musambani for a Topps Alexander.
Because
that would have been something to go
Yeah. And you haven't got any of your Channel 7 pins.
No, yet. I gave them all away. Oh. But they're worthless. Yeah, because let's face it, I met somebody who'd never heard of Channel 7.
And oh, really? Well, is this at the edge?
Yeah, not quite the edge.
They know Channel 7 at the edge.
I know, just off the edge.
Oh,
remember,
right.
I disappeared for a couple of hours.
Oh, that's right, you did too.
Now.
I assumed you were getting a tat or had been arrested or both.
Look, I was sizing up a tat, but sanity prevailed at 4 a.m. Now, an Olympic fail in the velodrome could see Australian cyclists, this is, Samantha Lane got this, could see Australian cyclists sacrifice world titles they have traditionally coveted in a bid to turn the tide on the track in Tokyo in 2020. A proposal sure to jar with some would see Australia, which missed its medal target by more than half, in a demoralising six days on the track following cyclist super... Oh, we don't want to talk about Team GB.
No.
Anyway, the strategy of the winners was aided by, obviously, a state lottery. They pumped $50 million into British cycling over the past 4 years.
Yes.
Every member of Britain's track cycling team has competed in Rio will leave with a medal. Every member.
Has that ever been done before?
I don't think so. Now, this contrasts with Australia, which led all comers on the track at Athens Olympics 12 years ago, but has dived off the cliff since.
Wow.
Now, the winning head model, obviously. Now, I'm just wondering what you're proposing here, Roy. Obviously, are you thinking a probe into cycling?
For a start.
And what element would you... What would be the angle? I mean, is the angle funding? Is it simply a matter of funding?
I think it is.
Do they have better bikes?
Bike technology has fallen behind in Australia. I mean, we used to lead the world in bike technology.
Star, I rest my case.
Speedwall, of course. I mean, these were tremendous. I mean, back in the day of Oppie, now that is going back sometime early last century, we were
number one
in the world. Mm-hmm. And that flame of number one flickered right through until Athens. And after then, something's gone wrong. Something's gone wrong. Now, if it is a funding thing, let's address it. Let's have a national conversation. That's what we've got to have to begin with. And that's what we're having now. A national conversation about the funding of cycling.
Now, can I suggest a lottery is one way to go?
Of course it is.
I'm not sure what the prizes are.
Well, let's say, look, I love that idea of set for life, where you get, say, $20,000
per day
for the rest of your life. Now, that's quite a lure.
Can I suggest another means of alternative funding? We've got to look at new sources of funding. Obviously, we could bet on the Australian of the Year, for instance, just to pick something that's not punted on at the moment.
Yes.
Very big competition, state-based competition, moving on to January the 26th at Canberra, Parliament House, all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
That's one idea. So we have a bespoke competition, bigger sums of money involved, great prizes, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
But a rapid turnover goes through every year. The Olympic cycle fits in there.
Okay.
Now, let's take a product that's not normally available over the counter in any state in Australia. And this bobs up in relationship to skateboarding. As we discovered earlier, I think it was one of the skateboarding community revealed that the skateboarders like to perform best after a bong or two.
Yes.
Let's say we legalise marijuana and put all the revenue that the nation generates from sales of marijuana towards cycling.
Well, that's a tremendous idea.
Is that part of a national conversation?
That is part of a national conversation. What about legalising ice or something like that?
Well,
is that going too far?
I think it is.
Yeah.
Because I think then we create a lot of problems which we don't want to deal with right now. In the future, we might want to deal with those. In the term of what the...
Yeah, I know. But if say, you do legalise ice and you have it sold at police stations...
Now you're talking.
Now
that's police stations, not petrol stations. Look, this was very sad news for this to come on the last day. But, Roy, I feel as though we have to deal with it. We're professionals. We have to report it as we see it. And I know we've been very keen to get involved in drug testing here.
Yeah.
We've been involved in drug testing here. But the anti-doping at the Rio Olympics was branded as the worst on Wednesday after the process of sample collection was compromised by a wave of no-shows and walkouts by volunteers and testers, as well as a series of security lapses.
Yeah.
Now, this is shocking coming on Olympic Marshals and Officials Day, but we've got to report it. The integrity of the entire process was under threat due to a major staff shortages, with barely half the volunteers recruited to help the run events, reporting for duty, and several doping control officers drafted in from overseas, walking out after they'd pushed to the breaking point, trying to fill the void.
Dear me.
Organisers also admitted that unauthorised individuals, including Roy Slaven, had gained access to the restricted areas during drug testing, although they denied failing to ensure that anti-doping at the Games was beyond reproach. One senior figure, named later as Dick Pound, in the war, said the war on drugs with experience of, you know, had experience of major events, said the sample collection and system, the sample collection system in Rio, this is by far the worst I've seen. That's Pound's comments.
Wow, and he's seen some shocking testing over the years.
The Rio Games opportunity to restore credibility to the drug testing process, but they've done nothing, according to insiders, which included John Coates and Dick Pound again. One source, Dick Pound again, said a large number of volunteers had picked up their uniforms at the start of the Games never to return, with others reporting for duty each day only to walk out after being served a free meal.
Dear me. So they're not committed, are they?
Committed, no.
They're not committed. You've got to be, drug testers, you've got to have the commitment, share the vision. I mean, a lot of people think it's hard. Well, it's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, athlete comes in. All right, drop your trousers. Okay, we in
long
that.
Jimmy.
Yeah, we in that and we in that one.
Mm-hmm.
You call one sample A, one sample B. You mark them up. So if it's the Cryo Colossus, you're going to put on the vial of
sample
of
A.
Sample A, Cryo Colossus.
Australia, Geelong.
Yes.
So you know where to get it.
And you put that in a hermetically sealed box,
mm-hmm.
and it's filed away for years. And you know, later on, people can come and test it.
You know, before on this show on the Mardi Gras medals, I've suggested you've been doing a lot of what I thought at the time was amateur work.
Mm.
But I now realise you were at the forefront of drug testing here in Rio.
Mm.
In the time that's available to you after we're off air, before we're talking to Bruce and thinking about helping the local police with crime.
That's right.
I mean, it's a big load to bear.
Yeah. Well, it's no effort because I'm committed.
Yeah.
You know, and if often has happened, you know, an athlete will come in and say, well, look, mate, I don't feel like a wee. So I say, oh, well, that's all right. I'll do it for you because I do. You know? So you help out that way. You've got to be committed. It's really important that you have your A and your B sample provided.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it looks reflects poorly on me if the athlete leaves and they say, well, where's the samples, mate? Oh, he couldn't do it. It doesn't work.
No.
You've got to say, here they are. So you always got to be prepared to have a wee yourself.
You've often, I noticed you were working with the Colossus the other day, and
yes.
he only had enough for sample A, and you've provided sample B.
I did.
Have you done that often?
Yes. Yes. It's not a problem, you know.
Do you think we're getting somewhere with Dick Pound's calls for more, oversight,
yeah.
more rigorous, more commitment, work in the drug testing arena, or do you think it's just a joke?
I think it's a bridge too far, because if you're going to be serious about it, you'd have to test the athletes every hour. Every hour. Now, a lot of them are going to resent that because they're going to think, oh, well, I'm asleep. Thank you.
Mm.
But you've got to, oh, no. Wake up, Colossus. It's 2 a.m.
Got an A for me, buddy.
Got an A and a B. Come on, fella. You know, hour later. Colossus!
Back again. An A or a B. Now, what do you make of these?
I mean, we'd have tired athletes, but by golly, they'd be clean.
They would. And finally, and I don't want to dwell on this, this rumour that volunteers are working up, having a feed and then pissing off.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not talking about sample A, sample
no.
B, but buggering off.
Yes.
You know, is there any truth to that? Have you seen that?
I have seen that. I have.
You know that bloke.
Because a lot of these volunteers, you know, they're people who don't know what the Olympics is about. You know, they just saw the sign.
Mm-hmm.
Free uniform, free feed. You know, nothing else. So you think, oh, well, I'll give that a go. In you go, get a terrific uniform. You know, you can point.
Free travel.
You can steer people in odd directions if you want to and look official. And you get a free feed. Now, the food's not great. You know, it's just a couple of buns with something dead in it. But, you know.
It's food. Can I ask, that bloke at the long jump who holds up the white flag, you got him, as I understand it, out of a queue of people who had come to watch the games.
Yeah.
Gave him a hat and a coat.
Yeah, I said,
I mean, is that how bad it is?
It is. I said, mate, you look good. Would you be prepared to, you know, wave a flag? He said, yeah. I said, have you done a wee lately? He said, no. Do you want to put these in here? Because Usain Bolt needs some wee.
New sports in 2020 for Tokyo. And I want to join new sports with the idea of fundraising as part of this national conversation we're having now with
yes.
regard to how the Olympics are paid for.
Mm-hmm.
The lottery idea, I think, is going to have to come in sooner or later.
Yes.
But I'm just wondering if the new sports, if you had, say, greyhound racing,
mm-hmm.
which I think is timely given the problems in certain states in Australia, mm-hmm. if that could step up and fill a gap four punters mm-hmm. who knew what they were looking at. Mm. I know greyhound racing is very, very popular in certain parts of the world.
Yes.
I'm thinking motorsport is always an attractive option too. And I know you were thinking of go-karts for the under-sixes as a beginning entry-level sport.
Definitely.
That could develop.
Yeah. Well, it gets the kids involved competing at an early age, and I'm all for that.
And rodeo, we were just looking at some vision here the Calgary Rodeo, which mm-hmm. I think is an event I've always wanted to go to.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if any of those slaved into the idea of lottery, you know, meaning new sports are funded by new forms of income, which the lottery would dovetail in nicely.
Yes, it would. I tend to think, though, to get this over the line, because we'd have to go through probably the federal sports minister, which might be Susan Ley, would be, for all monies raised by the lottery, it would have to be a federal lottery, not a state-based lottery. So all money would go into a pool and then would be distributed, I think, to all sports. I think Coates would prefer that the Australian Olympic Committee has the authority to distribute this to the funds where they see fit.
But would you then follow through with the winning edge, meaning that, you know, obviously this time in, our shooters and rugby sevens and the women have dominated, so they get the bulk of the funds next time, and we leave the swimmers out of it because they didn't do very well?
Yeah. Well, this is part of the conversation we've got to have.
I know. Well, I'm beginning it now.
Yeah. So, all right, you could have several lotteries, all right? You could have a lottery for the equestrian to help people like Edwina Topps Alexander, you know, funding horses. They cost millions. We know that. One for swimming, one for cycling, etc. And could I suggest also, HG, in terms of the national conversation, I would raise the GST by, say, 2 or 3%. And have that 3% go into the pool that Coates wants.
And then, would it be possible if we...
A road tax? I think a road tax, I don't think any Australian motorist would begrudge, say, an extra 5 cents on all tollways going towards this John Coates pool, we would call it, of funds.
Can I ask also, should the... you know, skateboarding, you know, issue get up and marijuana is legalised and the revenue and excise off marijuana sales goes to sport, would it be possible to weed for wheels, so to speak? Mm-hmm. So that'd be a brand.
Yes.
So you could go in and get your gear and know that your excise spent there, which would be a pretty hefty whack, would be going directly to the cycling community.
I think that's a great idea, actually. And obviously, this would be sold at police stations.
Well, I think the police stations
and
initially.
Could you get weed for pools?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It'd be called something else.
Something else.
You know, something jazzy.
Yeah.
Something cool. I mean, you know, Judy, all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
I'm just beginning the national conversation.
Yeah.
And let's face it, a lot of people who are out on the edge won't be in, they'll be compliant with this. I'm trying to talk to the average person in Australia and ask them to see the common sense of this position.
Yeah, well, I can't see any Australian disagreeing with any of those proposals, HG. The marijuana targeting various sports at police stations, the a road toll...
GST raising. Lottery.
The lottery dedicated, yeah. Now we're starting to get somewhere, I think. And probably, could I suggest a 5 cent tax on milk? I know it's going to...
hurt people.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not, but I don't think anyone would begrudge paying an extra 5 cents if it helps our Olympians.
Or a deposit tax on bottles.
Yes.
So as they might be, let's say it's 10 cents at the moment, I'm quite sure what it is in South Australia and other parts.
Yes.
That'll go to 15 cents.
Sure.
The 5 cents on the return goes to sport.
I like that, HG. And what about, you know, with superannuation, let's say 10% of all funds, you know, 10% of all Australian savings goes towards Olympic medals.
Can you see also these new sports coming in with a built-in funding model that goes with them?
Yeah.
For instance, you know, greyhound.
Yes.
Greyhound racing. Obviously, the betting turnover on the greyhounds goes to fund the sport.
Yeah, I love that. Mm. I can't see any Australian disagreeing with that at all, actually. What about 5 cents on petrol?
Is that go to the motorsport or does that go into the pool?
Well, that's how it goes into motorsport to begin with. But as the pool gets large, you know, once we've dominated motorsport, obviously you'd steer it towards something else. Well, involving wheels, it could go to new bikes for all Olympians, even if they don't want to ride them.
Roy, the baffling case of Ryan Lochte took a turn overnight. I know you spent a fair bit of time in the police station helping the police with their inquiries. And it seems as though Ryan somehow involved his mum, Yelena Lochte, who then alerted authorities in Brazil that her son had been held up at this petrol station.
Yeah.
But then it gets weirder than that.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that obviously the FBI is involved, the Department of Homeland Security is involved, teammates were on planes to fly back to America, they were taken off planes. I'm not sure where it stands at the moment, but we have to backtrack and remember that Ryan Lochte had a reality TV show called What Would Brian Lochte Do, which was very, very popular,
yes, it was.
In which he got up to zany actions. And this seems to me a carryover from that. He hasn't realised he's stopped being on television.
Mm.
And do you think he's been spooked by the television coverage of his swims here?
Maybe. Maybe.
Thinking.
Look, he's described as goofy, which I like. I like goofy people. You know, they're difficult to predict and,
They're out there.
They're out there. Well, he is out there. Now, obviously, he phoned Mum and said, Mum said, is everything going all right? And he made up this story because he's goofy. Made up this story. Yeah, Mum, we were held up, by blokes pretending they were cops, put a gun in my face and Mum would have been deeply sympathetic and all of that.
Jeez.
What he didn't realise was that Mum was going to blab because Mum's a bit, media aware. So Mum gets on the talkback radio and says, I'm Ryan's mum and, did you know he got held up last night by the Brazilian police? Well, hello, the Brazilian police, who aren't completely stupid, were listening to their radios in their cars and heard this story and thought, hello, was it you? No. Do you know who it was? Was it Sergeant, Juan? No. So they start investigating. Suddenly a judge is involved and the judge is not stupid. The judge pieces together what's gone on, that the blokes had, destroyed a toilet at a petrol station for reasons best known to themselves, and had to pay to have it fixed up, and that's the extent of it. There was no police involved, no one was robbed, no guns produced. The whole thing is fabrication. It embarrassed Brazil. It embarrassed the Olympic movement, and it could cost them 10 years in jail. If they can find this bloke, because he's disappeared off the map.
Look, he is kooky, as you described, or goofy.
Doofy.
They describe this incident concerning the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool. Now, people will have seen this in Washington, I think it is, where there's a great...
I have a dream.
Yeah, I have a dream.
Yeah.
Indeed, the Martin Luther King speech. Mm. Now, Ryan says he wants to become the first person to urinate in the pool.
Right.
Gives you an idea of the mindset.
Yeah.
So you can
that
think,
is goofy, isn't it?
It is. But
given that, I don't know anyone who hasn't.
Now, the other thing is it connects the theme of toilets.
Mm.
Obviously, do you get it?
I do.
Have you destroyed a toilet, say, in Montana? I have.
Yeah.
Have you destroyed a toilet in Vancouver? I have. Have you destroyed a toilet? It must be some
in Rio,
sort of game.
I have.
Now.
Wow, is this a bonding thing amongst the American swimming team?
I would think so. The mum, Yelena,
is
says...
Is it Goofy's idea? We imagine it is.
I think so. We've got a bet going that we can get... How many toilets have we done yet on this trip? Anyway.
And how do you destroy a toilet? Do you go in with a hammer or something and bash the porcelain? Or do you just... rip the window, the mirror off, or...
The great toilet destroyers were people like The Who were able to secure every bit of the toilet furniture and Fowlerware upside down on the ceiling. So when you walked in, you realised there was a fair gap between the prospect of using it sensibly and the reality of the Fowlerware, which is above your head all
I
of
get
sudden.
That, but that suggests to me tools.
Yes, I think The Who always went armed with at least super glue and a hacksaw.
Yeah.
Now, look, obviously the show was involved in Ryan's foolishness and irresponsibility. He's sort of, I don't know, he's the sort of person who might urinate on a national monument or, urinate in the corner of an art gallery, but he doesn't realise it's wrong. And then he wants to shower the people who come and tap him on the shoulder with sort of affection.
He sounds
like the perfect Olympian in a way.
He does, in a way. I mean, how goofy is that? And the thing is, HG, I mean, it's not as if these ideas are new. I mean, rugby league players have been doing this since the year dot.
And just before we go on and leave the big stink for another 4 years, can I thank Chris Becko Beckhouse for his magnificent work making it all happen. And let's face it, we do bugger all and he puts the magic in it. And, of course, the great helmsman's been with us again for this journey.
Yeah.
And what a journey it's been. And, of course, I refer to Chairman Mao, Richard Mortlock.
Yeah.
And thanks to everybody who's listened at home and the whole network thing that have got us to Rio. Mm. And let's face it, we've had the time of our lives.
Yeah.
And even though we haven't been to bed for a fortnight, you know, the accommodation was appreciated in the original planning stages.
Yeah.
Now, Roy, sadly, a story that may have legs or may not. Josh Palmer and Emma McKeon have been disciplined after a night out and a robbery in Rio. Now, it is hard to go past a good night out here in Rio without being robbed now.
Apparently.
You know, that seems to me the climax of the night. The youngsters were out. They were meant to be back at 2 a.m. in the village. They turned up at 4 a.m. Kitty Chillers read the riot act. Palmer told officials he was approached by a man who forced him to withdraw money from a nearby ATM. Palmer was found later by two businessmen, that was you and me, in Copacabana, who reported the swimmer was disoriented and lost his wallet and phone. They phoned the Australian consulate. Dick Pound came by in the car and took them home. They've been read the riot act. They can't go out anymore. They can't go to the closing ceremony. Roy, is this being too harsh? This is the Olympics. They are young Australians. Yeah. They're fit young Australians. I mean, what more? You know?
Well, they've got to be responsible, HG. I mean, it's not too much to ask. I mean, if Emma had let the team know where she was, there wouldn't have been a problem because she was fine. She was staying with a mate overnight. You know, I don't want to go there. You know, they're adults. They can do whatever they like. She was just having a night out in Rio. Well, that's fine. Just let people know, because there are a lot of people around the video. I know at the edge last night. People were asking. People say, where's Emma? I said, I don't know. I haven't seen her. You know, so there was that concern. Did she go out? Well, yeah, I think she did. Has she come back yet? Well, I don't know. Have you looked in a room? No. And suddenly they looked in a room. She's not there. Everything's gone. You know, where's he gone? Now, his was a slightly different story. I think he found himself slightly legless and asked one of the locals if they could give him directions. And they said, sure, the ATM's here.
Just put your card in it and give us the money.
Give us the money.
Hmm. Well, it is sad, though, sad in for the Olympics.
Well, I don't like that everyone's being punished. Now, Kitty Chiller's made it very clear when the team gets to Tokyo that no one's going to be allowed out of the village at all.
Right.
At all.
Right.
So you're going to be locked in your rooms unless you're competing. And there's talk of getting rid of the chill-out zone, even.
It's going too far.
Well, I think it's going too far.
You know, we've had a dream with rugby league players that they live in jail unless they're actually playing rugby league, and so many of the code's problems would be solved.
Would.
Now, is this the regime that Kitty Chiller's going to have?
By the looks of things, yes.
Is going to have in Tokyo?
Yes. And how do you think these young champions feel now that the whole team is being punished because of them?
Oh, no, it's too far.
It's not right.
You know, Dick Pound, John Coates have to have an intervention
and
get involved, you know, maybe with Kitty Chiller and a few people sitting around on lounges and say, what can we do about it?
Yes.
Maybe get some of the other athletes in, some of the winning athletes in. Catherine Skinner would have a view about it.
Yes.
You know, the rugby sevens, whoever's left from the women's rugby sevens.
Or turn to the pool of wisdom, you know, Dawn Fraser. Dawn, what would you... Oh, probably...
Well, and then I thought, Grant Hackett. Well, I thought,
hang on.
Enough said. You know. Look, we leave from the big stink.
The bottom line is Aussies are Aussies.
That's the trouble.
Just let Aussies be Aussies. Mm. You know, champions who like to play hard. You know,
Train hard. Put in for Australia.
Yes. And are always happy to sniff out a bit of dung if the opportunity's there.
This is the Rio Rumba, a sultry swivelling of the hips on the Mardi Gras of medals, with HG Nelson and rampaging Roy Slaven.
And of course, Roy, there's plenty to look forward to over the weekend. We've got Jared Talent in the walk. We've got the BMX people, and let's not forget the dry powder in the dressage and the jumping.
Edwina Tops, Alexander. And what about the Boomers?
Oh, the Boomers, of course. The Boomers,
that'll
I've marked down.
Tomorrow morning, I think, Eastern Standard Time, about 8 o'clock.
It's a semi, though, isn't it? Is it the final?
It's a
semi. And then on to the final, hopefully, against the Dream Team. Roy, it's been wonderful to have you alongside for another Olympics. And we leave the big stink sort of more encouraged that the Olympic movement has a future than ever before.
I agree with you, actually. It's been an absolute privilege to be here with you.
Bye now.
Rampaging Roy Slaven and HG Nelson. Thanks to our mates at Harvey Norman. Look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.